This is the Torg Eternity Delphi Council Debriefings, where the storm has a name. We are your hosts, Jay and Lehman. And today, in this episode, we are going to talk about reality and what Storm Knights and other possibility-rated people in Torg Eternity know about reality. So, what they might know instinctively or intuitively once they become possibility-rated, as well as what they might be told by the Delphi Council or other organization, say for the stormers, what they might be explained to them. So before we jump into that, I did want to say you can email us at torgdcd@gmail.com, and we will read your emails, answer your questions, comment on your comments, etc. But until then, we will go ahead and jump into reality and what the characters know. There's very little in the book, I would say, explaining exactly what the Storm Knights know and that. But just from the way the mechanics work, I would definitely say as soon as somebody becomes possibility rated, they know how to use their possibility energy. So they would be able to instinctively know how to, the normal two things that every or most possibility rated people know are the action boost, which is the spend a possibility, add to your, roll another d20, add it to your previous d20, as well as the soak, which can help reduce damage. So I'll just say that those would be official of these things are known, because I would not want to be in a game where the game master is like, no, you got to figure out how to soak. And, you know, even in the day ones, it's, you know, a person just becomes a reality rated character. And now it's like, okay, you have three possibilities. This is what you can do with them. I'd also say that an out of character term would be the actual number of possibilities. You know, if I was playing a character with three possibilities, that character wouldn't know I have three possibilities. He would probably just know, hey, I have this energy in me. The Delphi Council has told me it's called possibility energy, and I can do about these things, and then I can do about three of these things, and sometimes more, you know, because you might gain some possibilities you might not know in character where that's coming from. But it's like, normally I have about this much, and then sometimes I get a little boost in energy, and sometimes I get a little drain of energy, especially when a negative effect happens that drains possibilities. But those two things I would say are core to a possibility rated character. Now, there are examples. I'll say examples, but I know of one specifically that's been released so far that had two other things, and those other things would have been natural to that character. So whatever your two things are that the possibility rated person character knows, those would be instinctive. So, Jay, let me get your thoughts on what kind of other things would you think that let's go with anybody, they've just became possibility rated, whether they will be a Storm Knight or a Stormer, good or bad, you know, their decision doesn't matter, they've just become possibility rated. Other than the two core things, what things about reality do you think they probably either instinctively or intuitively know, or very quickly would find out?
I guess before I get into the full thing, there are, I feel, two other things that pretty much any reality rated character can do kind of instinctively. And one is navigate through a reality storm.
Okay.
Because that requires a reality skill check. and I imagine that's just you feeling it and kind of going with the flow and reconnecting.
Okay.
Is the other part, right? So those are all things that pretty much any reality rated character can do. And I guess technically tapping an Eternity Shard, although I would lean towards you might not automatically know how to do that. I don't know.
Right. And that might, at least the reality storm and tapping into a Eternity Shard would be something that I think that they would know how to do when it was presented to them.
Yeah, yeah. You don't know about it automatically.
But you don't. Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's these reality storms out there. That it's more of like, yeah. Oh, I'm in the middle of a reality storm. Oh, I can figure out how to manipulate, you know.
And at some point, I think probably someone kind of has to tell you how to rip out a Stella, you know. Right. But the way, like, it's true, it has not really been very detailed about what the average Storm Knight can detect, how they sense reality, how they look at it. And so you're going to have pretty much every Game Master running this slightly differently. Right. Now, personally, one of the games that I have run the most is Mage the Ascension all throughout high school and, like, a little bit at university. And then after that, Mage the Awakening. But Mage the Ascension is a game all about changing reality. Mm-hmm. And both Ascension and Awakening have a thing that happens when you awaken. And it's when you awakened to magic and you learn how to do all of these different things. And we have that exact thing in Torg, which is the moment of crisis.
Right.
So to me, I've kind of always merged that into the equivalent of a Mage Awakening. So I maybe put a little bit more emphasis into what happens during your moment of crisis. When you have your moment of crisis, that is when you make your decision, although it's not necessarily a conscious decision, but it's when you choose the reality that you're anchoring yourself to, mm-hmm. whether it be your own reality or transforming and then connecting to that new one. And so when that happens, I figure is the first time the character feels how the reality mechanics kind of work. So that's when they first can feel that reality is malleable, mm-hmm. and they can change it. So they don't necessarily know they can consciously spend possibilities, but they know that they have changed something, that reality has changed in some way, and they understand at least subconsciously that they can continue to do that. And then it's a matter of they will subconsciously boost or mm-hmm. soak. They won't do it consciously, but the more they do it, the more they will recognize that feeling that they have changed something.
Right.
And so even if left alone by, you know, the Delphi Council doesn't find them, High Lord doesn't find them, they will eventually learn to do it purposefully just by kind of like recreating the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get other situations too, where if they go into a different reality, they can tell that something is different.
Right.
And they might not be able to necessarily go, ah, it's the Nile Empire, right? But they'll be able to tell that it has changed. And again, through experience, they'll be able to start to tell, okay, yes, this does feel like the Nile Empire. There's just a certain, you know, things kind of change to it. So it depends on where you are. If you're an alpha clearance, brand new Storm Knight, you probably shouldn't really know too much. And the Delphi Council probably hasn't even told you all that much yet, because it really seems to me that the Delphi Council just throws out alpha clearance agents, and the ones that live to make it to beta, those are the ones we invest time in. And I'll get to that later, because there's a whole thing about pushing. But alpha, I also imagine they don't want to tell them too much, because they might get turned or captured, or, you know, all kinds of things could happen to them as well, especially if they're in Orange.
Right.
But, like, so I figure an alpha clearance character, it's mostly subconscious, but they will get some instruction and practice, which is really what they're being sent out to do, is get practice, get in their reps, and learn how to use their reality skill appropriately.
Right. I would say that's a good analogy, because, say, military training, they're trying to prep you for, you know, mm-hmm. war and combat, but you really can't do that with reality safe at, you know, home without other things going on.
Yeah.
And with the invasion, the Delphi Council does
need everyone.
You know, they need everyone there, so it's like a super quick reality boot camp of, as you said, I probably think They probably wouldn't tell everybody like how to rip up a Stele, but when you hit beta clearance, probably.
Yeah, because you don't want to tell the people that and then have them go defect a storm.
Right. And there's probably some more, you know, type of, hey, here's some information that since you're going to be up against more powerful threats and we're sending you more dangerous missions, here's how to, if you happen to come across a Stele, do these things, not these things, you know. Make sure you've notified Homer Division, get the okay before you do it, and then when there is the mission for the uprooting of the Stele, then it's like, okay, here's kind of the basic things that are going to happen, but they're going to be different, you know, depending on which ones, because each, you know, reality has its own little side things going on when their reality is getting uprooted. So there might be like, here's the standard things. Things are going to go wonky. And here's some things. I would also say that as soon as a character purchases a perk that allows them to do something with a possibility, that's also intuitive. So not the starting Storm character. Caller. Right. But if they get Stormcaller or Negation or anything that allows them to spend a possibility for X effect, then they know how to do that because that's what the experience is that they spent. They put experience into it. I do agree with the reconnection thing, that's just kind of a natural, I feel really weird and I don't like this weird feeling. Yeah. I want to be grounded.
And you're reaching out for the reality that you had previously attuned to.
Right. So you're trying to reestablish that connection. The other thing that I think would be intuitive or just happen with reality rated people that wouldn't happen with Ords is, and you kind of we're in that area of the knowing when they're in a different reality and being able to at least, they might not completely understand something, but they could be very basic explained what's going on. So an Ord in Rorsch is not going to understand a TV. If they transformed, they might be able to point to that thing and say that's a TV, but then when asked what does it do, they kind of I don't know. It's a TV.
Yeah, otherwise if the Ords could tell, then Pan Pacific and the jig would be up
pretty
quick.
Right. So the Storm Knight though that transformed, or even say an Rorsch Storm Knight who went to Core Earth and saw a TV, saw somebody operating it, went back to Rorsch, and somebody brought in a TV, they could attempt to use that TV. It would be a 4K contradiction, but they would remember, this is what I saw this person do, this is what I do to turn on the TV, and they could attempt that. Going along with that, I've always done it, and it was definitely in classic Torg where the Ords kind of just ignore the other realities when they come in contact with them if it's not a mixed zone. So and it also helps explain how the Eidnos in the party, or you know, can kind of get by, is if an Ord is directly confronted with something, yes, it's not like they're gonna, oh no, I'm not seeing the thing right in front of me. But if they see an Eidnos walk down the street, you know, they're just going to kind of not keep it in, you know, so it's going to be kind of their eyes pass it, and they're going to come up with something else. Like, oh, that's a person in a Halloween costume, or, you know, just something a little bit different.
That again is something I take from Mage and even Werewolf, because they had disbelief and quiet, which was that people will just rationalize stuff away.
Right.
And in some ways you can think of it as just a very minor contradiction, basically. Like them seeing an Eidnos is a contradiction to their reality, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the reality just sort of blends it away when they're no longer being directly... They'll remember there was something weird about that guy, but not necessarily that it was a lizard man.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, different game masters are going to have different extremes of that, because, you know, if they're on the news, it'd be a different situation.
Right. And I can actually attest, I'll get in to real life, that happened to me once.
Was the Lizard Man on TV?
No, it was, I was with a bunch of friends in a store. It was the night before one of my friends got married, so a bunch of us went to the city, a different city. We were staying there the night beforehand. We went to a store. We were looking around, and the store got robbed when we were there.
Yeah.
And this guy came in, and we were in Kansas, so you kind of have Western-ish type stuff going on, and he had a bandana on. And I was just like, what's this cowboy looking, you know, guy? What, you know, I just like wasn't thinking. And, you know, once he had the gun out and was, you know, threatening to shoot people, then I understood what was going on. But for those first couple of seconds, my mind was going through weird scenarios because I had never been in a situation, you know, of a robbery in a store happening. So that kind of, you know, that happened to me. So I can see, Ords, that happening to, you know, somebody say, oh, that sounds so unrealistic. And it's really weird what a mind will try to come up with when it's trying to put together a pattern that it hasn't associated things with, you know, and trying to come up with what's going on logically within a split second before you find out what's really, you know, happening. That's what I use a lot in Torg Eternity as the explanation of why these cosplayers, you know, walking down the street in all different reality get-ups aren't constantly being pointed at, is because there's a little bit of that going on where if they're over there, I can ignore it. I can just focus on other stuff and not let my brain have to think about that stuff over there. But again, if confronted by it, if they're right there and you're being questioned by it, they're not going to be hallucinating that your Storm Knights are somebody else. So that's another thing.
Yeah, If directly asked, they'll still remember.
Right. And then the reality rated, though, they would notice that stuff. So that's why if your reality rated people are in aisle and they see a cyber priest walk down the street, the find check is just to see if anybody's looking there, and then you say, hey, there's a guy that looks like he has a cybernetic arm. You're not like, oh, are you even looking there? Oh, now do an evidence analysis just to look what they obviously are wearing. Now, if they're disguised, that's a different thing, but I'm talking about blatantly walking out with the trappings of your reality. So anything else that you could think just sort of comes naturally?
Yeah. One big thing, and it's probably one of the most like asked questions is like, can you, and this came up in the game I just played a couple days ago, can you detect other reality rated people? And, this came up even before, I think we talked,
we might've talked about it. Yep.
And the way I look at it is you cannot simply detect other reality rated individuals unless maybe you get a perk for it or something. But I believe you can tell when another reality rated individual spends a possibility or possibly even just makes a reality skill. So if somebody with bodyguards makes a reality skill check to, you know, throw someone in front of it, or someone else spends a possibility to do something, I would have the Storm Knight be able to detect that, purely because if you have the negation perk, you can cancel it. So you must be able to sense it to be able to do that. But the thing is, your character wouldn't get like a wah, wah, they spent possibility. You'd kind of have to describe how they would feel it. And I think a lot of that comes into, like, without the Delphi Council or some other organization telling you what to think, a lot of Storm Knights are going to have their own personal versions of, like, sort of what it actually is. Like, I would imagine many would think of it in religious or perhaps magical terms, because none of the tech axioms, or not any of the axioms really, are quite high enough to get to the point where they're directly playing with possibility energy.
Right.
Except maybe Isle has the reality magicians. Anyone that can cast possibility rend, I guess. But
and possibly the Akashans might.
Yeah, the Akashans would. Not that they're.
Right.
But and then, you know, so if you got a really high axiom somewhere, maybe that can help explain it. Like, I'd imagine in Pan Pacifica, it's all explained via science,
mm-hmm.
you know, probability mechanics and like all sorts of things like that. So it's going to be how your character couches it. But they can sense that somebody else, that this person somehow changed reality. You're not necessarily going to know, like, how many possibilities they have, how powerful they are, even necessarily what reality they're from. But just that something happened.
Right.
And that can also be part of your character, is like trying to figure out how does your character think about these things, not when it hasn't yet been fully explained to them. I mean, even the Delphi Council doesn't really know what's going on necessarily. Right. So.
Yeah, they have their own, you know, little group of people trying to figure out reality at the Delphi Council. They don't know everything about it. They do know enough of what Quinn brought with him, but they don't have all the intricacies. Plus, it's a little bit different now.
Yeah,
so, you
and
know,
they do have an occasion on staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a bit of information there.
Right. So I would agree with that. That's where I would use the rule that you can have different stats with different skills. So I would probably do a mind with reality to kind of figure out what's going on with when that person did that thing. You know, and because a lot of times, just because of the transparency of Torg Eternity, when the villain soaks, you just say, okay, they spend a possibility to soak, and then they roll and you figure out what happened. Or they're spending a possibility.
I mean, when I put tokens on the board, they have possibilities on them.
On the, right.
If they're reality rated. So the players know at that point. But usually, if it's a non-combat situation, I don't mention it unless they trigger it somehow.
Right. And if it's a non-combat, that's when I would have the, okay, everybody do a reality plus mind. And kind of use it as a perception check.
Yeah.
Or fine check. And then if they do, then depending on what they rolled, it might be like, you kind of feel this, you know, happening, and maybe give them a little extra. And as you said, I would probably adjust the difficulty numbers for the brand new alpha person.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beta person who's been in all of the realities and understands things. And then if they go back to the reality, or they go into a new reality, if somebody's from that reality, I would definitely give them reduce the difficulty number, give them a plus two or four or whatever, favored, something along those lines, to show that, hey, you realize that, or just tell them, if you know, hey,
it's going to depend on your game too, because if you're doing like day one characters that don't know anything,
right,
then, you know, that's going to be an actually interesting thing to role play out.
Right.
But if you're playing day 90 characters who've in theory have been doing this for 3 months already,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a different story.
Right. So on some of that, I would just advise the game masters and players to figure out where your characters are along the thing, what seems reasonable, and what type of story and interaction. Is this something that happens often? Is it something that's a really weird fluke? The first time any group encounters a nightmare tree, that is probably a little bit different than, this is the third nightmare tree, because that was one of those... It was that idea of this is a cool little thing, and then like everybody went with that cool thing idea. Yeah. But they're supposed to be everywhere for a reason, if you look at the Overwatch source book. So that's kind of instinctual, intuitive things that both possibility raiders and stormers would know for for actual Storm Knights. I would also extend that into certain cards, that's their difference between a Storm Knight and a Stormer is the player characters have cards, and I see that as being a part of the Eternity side of things instead of the Void side of things. They get cards, whereas the villains, the gloaters and such, they're going to have those abilities that aren't perks, that they...
Special abilities.
They're special abilities that they're use possibility rated, such as you said, minions, that those would be things as that the villains would understand that the Storm Knights might not understand. Like, a Storm Knight might not understand. They might say, okay, that's what the villain's doing when their minion all of a sudden is in front of them when it wasn't there, you know, when I fired a half a second ago. Something happened with reality, but I don't understand that. Whereas a Stormer, you know, might figure out, okay, this person did a reality thing, but they shouldn't have succeeded. Why did they succeed? Mm-hmm. And the Storm Knight had played an adrenaline or a willpower or, you know, a card like that. So I think that those also kind of are when it's not just possibility rated, but it also goes into Stormer versus Storm Knight.
I don't think it's ever really been officially stated, mm-hmm. but I always looked at it as Destiny cards were for heroes.
Right.
Whether or not they're reality rated, because you still get them in the day one adventures sure. when you're an Ord.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in theory, you could play a game of just a bunch of Ords, still have cards, although those heroes and dramas may or may not do anything, right? But not have possibilities.
Right.
Whereas you can, if you're a Storm Knight, you're a hero and you have possibility rated. But if you're a Stormer, you're possibility rated, but you're not a hero, so you don't get any cards.
Right. And it might be
but
a
also
potential.
It's players get cards.
Mechanically, it's players get cards. If you want to wrap it into the story, then I could also see it as a potential heroes. You know, I wouldn't because
destined.
the destined, those who are capable of having their moment of crisis. Otherwise, all like hero ish NPCs would you know, the game master would have to have a bunch of cards in front of them. So
yeah, which would probably get annoying.
Right, exactly. When anybody who's done Torg or Classic Torg with a GM NPC would understand how that goes. Or if you're playing and your group's small and you only have a couple of people, so the game master plays.
Yeah.
Or players play, I've had it where players have played multiple Storm Knights, and then each of those, so they have like different stacks of cards depending on the Storm Knights before the just give more the same person more cards type thing works. But I think all of that is kind of interesting to think about. So now we've established what comes natural or in the first instance of a reality circumstance, like a Eternity Shard, a Reality Storm. Now let's head for What does the Delphi Council actually, you know, hey, you're what we call a Storm Knight, join us, you know, or the recruit posters are up, or the day one where Quinn Sebastian, you know, comes in to shake the hands of the heroes and offer them a part of the Delphi Council. They're gonna teach something.
Yeah.
And so what are your thoughts on what is the Delphi Council as an organization going to teach brand new alpha level recruits that they've just brought in as a, hey, this crazy thing is happening right now. You need to understand this to survive the possibility wars.
Again, this is something that's not really brought up.
Right, right. But, and that's why we're kind of going through this.
So it's kind of
Give that.
The great overview about how realities work mm-hmm. and the fact that it's an invasion from all of these other realities, probably give like a primer on each of the realities. You'd probably get like a full dossier of the one that you're going to be operating in.
Right.
You would the characters would be getting way more information than is being delivered to the players.
Right.
Because the players will just be like, I don't care. Yeah. And then in general, it would be sort of more along the lines of affirming things that they already know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll tell you how to do something, but you're like, I kind of already know how to do that, right? So for the alpha characters, they're getting a pretty brief, like, boot camp, probably, mm-hmm. I would imagine. Like a real boot camp, you know, for like a week or something, you know, just to make sure they're able to actually go out and uh-huh. do things, like, to go on these missions, even though the Delphi Council does seem to send very strange parties out that aren't technically well-suited for the adventure they're going for. But they probably do that, give them some base ideas of what they can expect to find, and maybe even give them, like, what are Gospog, warnings about Ravagons, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. They probably wouldn't teach the pulling of Stelly right away because
mm-hmm.
they don't want just anyone doing that. They'll probably teach what an Eternity Shard is, but not necessarily how to tap it right away, even though you probably get some instinctual knowledge once you touch it,
right?
Like, once you've got it. I kind of always look at Eternity Shards as wanting to be tapped,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's an interesting thing once you get to beta clearance, and it's kind of hidden away in the beta clearance player's primer.
Okay.
Is that, where is it? The beta clearance operative is ready for special training referred to as pushing, where something technically impossible is taught and demonstrated by another Storm Knight capable of the feat. So they're basically being trained to do things that they have to spend possibilities to accomplish.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. And then, so I kind of look at that as being a danger room, like X-Men sort mm-hmm. of situation, where they're doing all this stuff. And so they're actually being taught to do the impossible. And they don't give any examples, of course, of what that means. But they do mention that it's either other reality agents that are higher skilled than them, or it's ords with special equipment or something that makes it look like they're able to do it. But at no point is the Storm Knight ever actually told that it was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of was, you have to believe you can do it and you will do it.
Right.
And that sort of like gets them, especially for core Earth characters, like upping, I would just sort of use that as an excuse for upping your ads in reality as well. And quite flavorful. So it kind of tells you what your characters are doing when you're not going out on a mission.
Right.
You know, the Delphi Council does have you doing some intense, crazy training, right? And you can work with your GM to kind of maybe decide what your character has been doing with this kind of training. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily what you just spent your XP on. It could be almost anything.
Yeah, and that might be a nice narrative way of why you got that perk, you know, mm-hmm. because you went through that training and you figured out how to do that impossible thing. So,
and I imagine the training works both ways too. The Delphi mm-hmm. Council is trying to figure out stuff,
right? Like, oh yeah, it's one of those, if we don't tell them what they can't do, then maybe they'll do something cool that we'll realize can be done, and then you know, train others, or at least know that this one guy over here can do that thing. I also agree, and this is something that every game master, every table is going to kind of have to come up with their own reasoning and rationale behind. Why is this group of mixed match people that don't seem like they would mm-hmm. be good to go on this mission or going on this mission? I know when I played at Gen Con with, I said it a couple weeks ago, but now my brain is going, the Infiniverse Iconoclasts, they have a no Technodemon and Eidnos kind of rule because they don't want to have the explanation of why. So there are certain things that every group is going to kind of figure out, where does that boundary stretch? Where can we, you know, say, okay, this is fine, this isn't fine. So that is something also that I think should be taken into account by every group as where is that line? Because everybody's in their own cosmverse. So if what we're saying today doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't mean that it's, you know, official or anything. The reason we're doing this episode is because there isn't a lot of this information, or it's kind of piecemeal through and you kind of have to pluck at the strings to put them all together.
My personal in-universe explanation is that, especially when the Near Now news was going, there was, when Torg Eternity first came out, there was a lot of talk about Core Earth psychics.
Right.
And when the Delphi Council was created and Queen Sebastian showed up, he liberated some psychics from the Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I have it is that the Delphi Council, being the Oracle of Delphi, is operating with a large group of precog psychics. And most of these missions have already been, like, seen by these psychics. And the, you know, dumbass combo of these players.
That's the one that worked.
Is the one that had the greatest chance of success for whatever reason, that it was seen in a vision. So they're going with it. That's my justification for it.
No, that makes sense, because I know there's tends to be one that's used reasonable, but you could also say that it's overused as a, you just happen to be the ones here.
Yeah.
Because,
but why were you here?
Right. You know, it's a... Yes, there are disruptions to travel. So you can't necessarily always form together the peak...
The perfect group.
Perfect group.
You were the closest ones.
But sometimes you look at the group and you're like, there is nothing better out there. You know,
yeah,
nothing,
it's like,
more
okay,
cohesive.
This is a social mission.
Right. yeah, we have aspirin, Edenos, ground sloth, and a Stalinger. What?
yeah.
What?
I guess I also personally run with the rule for anything weird, like the Stalingers and even aspirants, I run with, there can only be one of them
in the group.
Right. Like, that's it. And for most of them, not aspirants. I don't count Edenos towards this, but I do count aspirants because they're so, like, you know, they're pretty powerful.
Right. And elves and dwarfs, I think, are at least
acceptable. Yeah, they're fine. But things like pixies, you know, that sort of stuff. It's like one, and then once there's been one, that's it.
Yeah. Your group gets one throughout their career.
That's it, yeah, because that also keeps them special.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's stuff like that. I would definitely say the Delphi Council would explain the Steles. You know, the triangle regions.
And
you know,
why you don't uproot.
And yeah, they would explain why you don't uproot them. They understand that the orbs need to be refilled with possibility energy. Again, they're not saying possibilities. Like, every orb needs 0.25 possibilities.
Yeah.
They're like, they need to be filled with possibility energy.
We 35 hope units.
Yes, they need... That energy is given to them through these spectacular deeds of glory. They wouldn't say, hey, when you're out there, be sure to have a glory card and roll a 60 or better on your die. But they would give those generalities. I think they would also be sure to explain these are not necessarily alien invaders, but invaders from different realities, because there is that kind of distinction of, you know, aliens would be just something that Core Earth would understand, and well, no, a Core Earth person is not going to understand Isle magic because the reality doesn't accept it. So here's the differences in the realities. Like you said, I could almost see them giving out a little, like you said, a packet of here's an overview, kind of like what we did as overview, you know, for the, but then when they're going to Isle, it's kind of like, hey, for anybody not from Isle, it's, you know, a little manila file folder or whatever. It has some pictures, you know, some paperclip or whatever, physically hand it to you for the non-tech, or a tablet for the techie people. And are like, here's the information for that realm. I think that they might use axioms. I could see trying to figure out hey, here's what Axiom, you know, kind of in the back where there's the thing. They might be missing certain things, you know.
Yeah,
things
I feel they have a rough idea of Axioms, but they don't necessarily have an exact guide.
Right.
Like the exact numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably much more varied and less that's what I'm looking for. Like maybe there's only like five levels.
Right. And like instead of 30, it's kind of like here's five, and they kind of crunch each section up into.
Because making these kind of distinctions is just what people do.
Right.
Like every tech game, like GURPS or whatever, or Traveler, has tech levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something that if there were reality scientists, they would come up with numbers.
Right.
And if they know that there's magic and there's faith or like different things, you know, they would figure it out, but they wouldn't necessarily come to the same type of numbers
mm-hmm.
as the game system has. It would be very convenient if they did, but especially you would have reality magicians from Isle showing up and talking to reality theorists from Core Earth and being totally on different pages, right?
Yeah, and I would also see, like, whatever the scale the Delphi Council would use would be more like a Mohs hardness scale than, say, a Richter scale. You know, just something easily... Hey, if you can do this, you know, and you don't feel any pushback, then it's at least this, you know, level. Kind of like a penny, if you can scratch it with a penny, it's this. If you can scratch it with a nail or, you know, a knife, it can do this. If you can scratch with glass, it's stuff that's supposed to be commonly available, and it's not in any precise order, this many times more than this many times more than the previous or whatever. It's just kind of a general thing. So I could see them going, hey, if you go into a place and the primitive human here, they know what's going on, then you're probably in living land or something around that social axiom, and kind of use that as indicators. So I would say that would definitely be one of those alpha clearance would get that information. Here's the different realms. Here's how the bounded stele work. Here's what the three different types of zones are. I think they would explain, mm-hmm. here's what a mixed zone. Sometimes you're going to get weird things where both of your stuff work. Sometimes, you know, it's going to be only this. And sometimes it's going to be really difficult where you go in and you don't see, like, almost nothing of Core Earth left. That's a pure zone. People are really, you know, going to have a hard time doing those contradictions and reconnections. So you might want to limit your little I can do my own thing over here when you're in that environment, because you might not easily reconnect to your thing. So I think that I really do think, as you stated, they might give more defined things of what an action boost is. You know, sometimes you can use that, like, and not necessarily even the, oh, here's the impossible task, but, hey, here's a target down a pipe, you know, that you have to shoot and hit it, and they know that you're going to have to spend a little bit of possibility energy just to be able to do it.
Yeah, or they ask you and you miss, and they're like, okay, but now... Really think about what if you were, this was a different reality,
right?
That you did hit, because there's realities where you hit and there's realities where you miss. And let's just switch the tracks.
Right.
That's all you got to do.
Let's just imitate that one that hit. And same thing with soaking, although I don't think they'd be going around like shooting people with big guns, but I don't know.
I think they'd go slap them around.
Slap them, right. Yeah.
Soak that shock. Yeah, you know? You got electric katanas.
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah,
or shock sticks.
And that's where the dazing stuff might be helpful and useful in. But yeah, I would say that type of basic stuff would be explained more. Hey, you might have figured this out. This is what is actually going on in the background.
So you get the theory behind it, but mechanically it doesn't change anything.
Right.
But now you can actually talk about it.
Exactly. It's one of those kind of narrative story elements that you can use if you, as a game master and as a table, want to bring that to the front. Or if you just get players who are new and are like, how do we know this? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then you can kind of break
it helps
down.
Put all the characters, which are from different realities, on the same page.
Right. Exactly. and you know these, and they might even have a living land training manual, so somebody right. from the living land, this is how we explain things to them, and to the cyber papacy, this is how we explain, and it might be different because mm-hmm. they might understand concepts and not understand other concepts, so it might not even be a here's the aisle manual for all non-aisle people. It might be a here's an aisle manual that works for the living land, and here's one that you give to the cyber papal agent, and here's one that right. you give for to the Tharkhold agent, etc.
Probably takes them a while to get these manuals made, you know,
right.
not in the first few months.
Right, right, exactly. Over time. So let's briefly talk about the High Lords. So you have your Stormers out there, and or we can go before we do that. Sorry, let's go Delphi Council adjacent. So let's go Operation Eris. So what do you think Operation Eris tells its possibility rated people? Do you think they have a very
probably
similar
nothing?
Are just them like here's the thing, you're undercover. Figure it out on your own.
I mean, the more that you tell them, the more risk there is.
Right.
It depends. Like, I mean, I guess they would tell them some stuff, but. And I don't think they would necessarily be trained
mm-hmm.
per se, because it's more like you're recruited and then sent out.
Right.
So they would probably get. So they might actually end up learning more from the Stormers than from the, say, Delphi Council. Because I don't really view Operation Eris as a totally separate, full entity. It's just
right.
like a wing.
Mm-hmm.
And I view everything there to be very compartmentalized. So you, as Operation Eris people, you probably know one person who was your handler. And you maybe got some instruction off of them and then were sent out.
Right.
And unlike, I mean, one adventure notwithstanding, and the fact that that's just how the RPGs tend to work, I would imagine most Operation Eris agents are solo,
mm-hmm.
that they're just sent off on their own. So, like, ironically, I would think even. Orts could probably be used for that too. Like, you just need spies.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Storm Knights is that they have more longevity, so they would be a much more useful agent. And if they're reality rated, then the High Lords and their agents will probably be more likely to try to recruit them higher up the ladder, so they can learn more stuff. But almost, it might be weird if they know too much.
Right.
Like, if the Delphi count, if they know like the same amount as a Delphi agent would. So it might be better to not tell them too much. Just give them the brief information, just enough to get by, but no intensive training or anything like that is how I would sort of think about it.
Right. I was trying to think, would they get information on the place that they're supposed to, like, be their territory, or, you know, so like, hey, you're gonna be an operative in Nile Empire. How much of the Nile Empire, you know, information would they give? So at least they're prepared for their field.
Mm-hmm.
But they might just, it might be as easy to pick somebody from
the
Nile
Empire. That's what I would assume normally.
Instead of, and again, there is the one big exception of the mega adventure, but
yeah.
Otherwise, it's probably that. Yes, Operation Eris also does have ords. That's one of the reasons why the Delphi Council says you don't just go out there and kill everybody or make sure everybody's dead, because it might be an Operation Eris person plus your heroes. Mm-hmm. But there are the reality rated. But I would agree with you that out of both sides, the Storm Knights and the Stormers, the Operation Eris are probably told the least. Because,
yeah.
again, if you seem like you're learning too much too fast, then that's going to throw up a red flag to whoever you're trying to infiltrate. Mm-hmm. But
just trying to not be noticed.
Right. right. And then the Stormers are going to have learned some stuff, and they might be in those positions where they've been told a little bit more on their side of things what's going on. So yeah, it's kind of like the Operation Eris possibility rated people are the ones that have the least info, yeah, with the hopes that they'll learn the enemy info and yeah, what's going on. So, okay, now let's shift over to the High Lords. I think different High Lords would probably approach it differently.
Yeah.
But how would you think a Stormer would necessarily, what information they might be given? Would you think that the different High Lords would do it differently? Or do you think there would be something that all the High Lords would agree to tell their Stormers?
I mean, they all have to come up with some reason for why they're invading in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, all the reasons are kind of different, but there needs to be something.
Right.
And I would imagine most reality mechanics, aside from, like, their trusted lieutenants that have been through multiple invasions, assuming they've done multiple invasions, but the trusted lieutenants would know the score, but maybe newer ones might not. Like, I would imagine your average elite Nile shock trooper who has two possibilities, mm-hmm, has them for being a veteran and hasn't necessarily received any special training.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're kind of using them subconsciously. Now, it would depend really on each High Lord. I think they would operate it very differently and say different things, but they would probably all kind of couch it in terms that would be understood and not necessarily even mention reality.
Uh-huh.
The one that is kind of weird, though, is Tharkold, since every Techno Demon is possibility rated.
Right.
At least mechanically. Right. So they all have it, so I imagine it would just be, we're superior, we know how to do this, blah, 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 kind of a thing. For Beric Kaw, I would believe he would sort of treat it as proof of divine favor.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone whose possibility rated is blessed by Lanala, and he recognizes them as the Sar and elevates them, and then gives other Adinos kind of something to aspire towards.
Right.
Whereas Mobius, I think it's kind of easy to, since in Torg Eternity, Eternium is much more just readily available, mm-hmm, and Eternium is used in so many things, and it's like this power source. You could almost explain it in the same way. It's just a pulp science thing.
Right.
And so I would imagine that, like, shock troopers and things like that don't get any actual, like, real training or anything, but pulp villains, most of which are scientists that are using crazy gizmos, or even like pulp sorcerers or high priests, they would just see it as some kind of energy. The others I'm not so sure about. Like, Isle would just probably think of it as magic,
mm-hmm,
of some kind. Pan Pacifica is probably the closest to thinking of it the same way as Core Earth, but I'm actually not sure how Pan Pacifica would really word it.
I think Pan Pacifica would be the closest to the Delphi Council in, like, training special agents. Like, not every higher MARSEC agent or, you know, Kanawha security with the possibility, mm-hmm, would know, but definitely they have specialized strike teams, and
yeah,
when they, I could see them having their own group of, say, beta, like their version of beta level clearance, where they're like, okay, this is how we figured, yeah, out that reality works, because when we send you out against the Storm Knights, we want you to win. So, you know, they're gonna say, hey, they can do this and they can do that, and you can do this, and here's something. I would see that more Pan Pacifica style. I would think Cyber Papacy.
I cannot see Malrose saying anything other than it's because he says it.
Right.
Like, it's God, it's him, that's it.
Right. And he's, you know, half, or if not fully, is in his own, you know, believes his own rhetoric that it would be a, we're doing this, we're, you know, getting rid of heretics and the heathens, and we are establishing God's place, mm-hmm, on all of these new places we go to, and these crusades, and that's what he believes, and that's what his people believe.
You have faith in our world.
You know, and probably bring up different passages within the Malraux, you know, Bible of if you believe enough, then it will be true, as a way to explain away, you know, the possibilities manipulating reality and stuff. Is if you have the faith, if you do that where it's actually reality, but it, you know, verbally he's saying it's through the faith. I would, exactly. Very ironically, I could see him and Barak Kaas, like the way that they present things, to be a little bit similar to
each other.
I would
think that Barak Kaas at least knows
he's
lying.
Right. We're Malraux completely. What their Stormers believe would be very similar-ish. Like the source, and that it's coming from their deity, whether it's God or Lenala. But the High Lord's very different, you know.
Yeah.
Barak Kaas old enough and, you know, wise enough and has been, you know, to countless other worlds conquering them, that he knows what's going on, where Malraux is just delusional and what he came up with is his reality plus the world law that even makes it that way, reinforces it. I think... definitely the Gaunt Man understands most everything, but I don't think he would necessarily tell anybody, not even the Hellion court. I think he
must tell his upper echelon, because that's where Uthorian came from.
Right.
But yeah, I agree totally. That's what I was going to say, is that he would tell no one any of it until it was like the upper echelon. Yeah.
Right. Like it would be you got to go through the horror stage, the nightmare stage for a long time.
Because every nightmare has possibilities, but they don't all seem to really know what's going on.
Right. But then there would be that point where then it might be limited information. Like the Gaunt Man definitely has a use for every one of his nightmares and Hellion court members. So say a new Hellion court member arrives, new upper echelon, as you said, it might be I'm going to teach them the thing that I believe they need to know, or the series. But then after that, no, because they need to fight amongst themselves. They need to bring the best.
And there are some, and I mean, this goes with every High Lord, but there are some that have been through multiple invasions. So they know, like, they've been around for a long time.
Right.
Same with Mobius, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of his upper tier of overgoverners and everything are from prior conquests.
Right.
So they've seen it happen before, they know. Whereas the Kanawha troops, you know, maybe not quite as experienced and see things. I think that's all of them. Is there any reality we're forgetting? I guess Core Earth Stormers. They just got to figure stuff out. And that's sort of what's going on with Stormbreak. They're just like, let's go for it. YOLO.
And I just want to mention, I just got a text, looked at my watch. It is relevant to this conversation, because I just got a text from one of my friends that said, for those of you who made the trek to Wichita so many years ago, happy I'll put a cap in your ass day. So that thing earlier where I said we got robbed, that's what the the guy told us was, you know, you better do this or I'll put a cap in your ass.
There you go.
Just absolutely, you know, this is how you can use those moments and say this stuff happens in real life, because 365 days of the year, the one that I remember this thing that happened to me, how it applies to Torg, and then to find out that it's the anniversary of
the actual day
of that day, which was back in the really late, I think it was late, not probably like 97 and 99, you know, around. So it's been a while, but hey, that's how things work. So it's not in any way, shape, or form unlikely. It those coincidences do happen, and move through them. If they help with Torg, then go through it. So sorry, I kind of interrupted you, but I just got that and was like, oh wow, that's actually pertinent to tonight's discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much done. It was just like Stormbreak is kind of just YOLOing and figuring it
Oh
out on their
yeah,
own.
yeah, and whether they might have some figured it out, but then they also have the and we don't care, you know,
Yeah,
like
that too.
are we figured it out and we're only going to use it for our goals, and if something bad might happen, even if we do the goals, we don't care about the bad thing that so
Yeah,
happens.
yeah.
It's like what can get the job done, and that's it. So. Yes, I would say with all the High Lords, various things, Uthorian, maybe the Dread Council would know some stuff. As you said, there are the Isle reality mages type things that, so they've at least been thinking
And
about it
the
magically.
whole, I think it was sort of maybe retconned, but the whole thing with Storm Knight being the term that Pella Ardenne came up with in the
Right.
first place.
Right.
Like, I always sort of felt Isle had maybe a little bit more of a grasp on it than most of the other realms.
Right.
Maybe because the elves were chilling with the
With
occasions for
it,
so long, you
right,
know?
right.
So yeah, I would imagine even like the Stormers too probably have a bit more understanding than some of the Stormers from other realms,
Right.
personally.
And then with Tharkold would be the difference between the techno demons, the Tharkoldu. I think some of that might just be instinctual, but they're lazy, so they're not even going to teach people because teaching takes time away from what the laziness I want to do. But Volkov has access to some Delphi Council knowledge.
Yes.
So depending on what he thinks. His own personal reality rated, you know, whether you want to call them Storm Knights or Stormers or some weird middle ground, the people that work for the reality rated people that work for him, they might know something, but probably with some propaganda skews on, you know, the reasons why certain things, you know, happen. So I think that's how that would go.
The other thing, like, again, this has never really been said anywhere or not, but you always have to look at, like, when a threat entry is reality rated, sometimes I think to myself, is it actually reality rated, or is this just to make it a more challenging encounter?
Right.
Right? So I'm sort of leaning towards if it's got possibilities it is reality rated, I mean, but sometimes some things don't make sense that are, so, like, in some senses, I might be like, okay, maybe they're not really reality rated. It's just to kind of beef them up a tad.
It mimics reality.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I think that was a good discussion. Again, that's a question that we both know has often come up with games, and we read it on forums and Discord and everything once in a while. What do the Storm Knights actually know? So, yeah, there's not a lot of information in the books. You have to kind of find it in piecemeal. So I thought that this episode would be good to kind of bringing that up. Again, most of what we said is kind of our own little headcanon or our own views. Year two might have a little bit more solidification of what the Storm Knights know to when they get involved in the Delphi Council, so at least the Delphi Council part of that might be explained a little, because we have had these questions over the years coming up, so we have taken that into account. Having said that, go ahead and you can email us at torgdcd@gmail.com. You can send us your questions, we'll answer those, we'll comment on your comments, etc. But until next time, we hope you have fun in your own Cosmverse. Bye.